Welcome to Living the Good Life right here on TamTalkNetwork.com. And we are so glad you're joining us, and we are here live in the studio as we always are. What a joy on Sunday afternoon to bring the Word of God and great contemporary music your way week after week, and now in our 11th year of doing that very thing. So what a joy. And for me today, it's just great to have Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and Nan right here in the studio. Sometimes our radio team calls in, and sometimes they're here live with me, and I'm always here live, but sometimes they're not always here live. And today they are, and that's really great. And I love it when they are. So, and what a blessing to be able to share the Word of God with you, audience, scattered around the globe because of the amazing technology that we enjoy in this day and age. We are able to have this show come up every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. You might write those four words down. That's a great way to catch this show again this Saturday and Sunday coming up. 10 a.m. Eastern, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And so followed by our Thursday night show, Go Yard, every Saturday and Sunday at noon Eastern. So a good way to catch shows you miss or shows you want to hear again. And also you can do that right here on the podcast, part of TanTalkNetwork.com. Go to podcasts and open up our show, Living the Good Life, and then you'll be able to find it. And usually it's up by tonight sometime after we do the show. So it's a wonderful, beautiful Sunday afternoon right here in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are going to enjoy the presence of the Lord in a mighty way today as we talk about all His glory, as we talk about what He has in store for us. And it's going to be amazing what He has in store for us, because one of these days we're going to leave this earth as we know it, and we're going to go to be with Him, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about going home today. And, you know, some of us are from a lot of, well, in fact, most people say that most Floridians are not native, and they're from some other place. But, you know, when it comes to spiritually, we have a home in heaven that is waiting for us. And this that old song years ago, "This world is not my home, and we're just a passing through." Pastor Jim, you probably remember those words to that.
Some of them.
Yeah. "This world is not my home, we're just a passing through. My mansion is laid up somewhere beyond the blue," something like that. Anyway.
Now, if you ask me about, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop," we might be better.
All right. There you go, that. My mom used to sing that, and she loved that. We got a mansion just over the hilltop. So, welcome to the show. Nan, are you excited to be here?
Oh, most definitely I'm excited to be here. Absolutely.
She got the right answer. That's the answer, yes.
And that's a truthful answer, too. So
okay,
that's why that's the right answer.
That's good. That's
absolutely
good.
It's such a beautiful day out today, but it's such a going to be such a blessing to spend the time indoors with our radio listening audience.
It is. It's always fun. We just love it so much. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We are gathered around your word, your precious word today. We are gathered around great music that's going to bless our hearts and remind us of who you are, your nature, how much you love us, and the plans you have in store for us. Lord, we are going to talk about glory. We're going to talk about heaven, and we can't wait to talk about it, and we really can't wait to get there. We're excited about where you are taking those of us who know you as our personal Lord and Savior. We're going to be going with you someday to live in your heavenly kingdom, and amen. That is exciting. Amen. So, Lord, bless this show, anointed as we talk about all of these things about your wonderful heavenly home that you're preparing for us. And Lord, we just are excited to share, excited to hear your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. We got such great music in store today, but I want to start with one that is not necessarily about heaven, but it is about the Word of God and what the Word of God says and how important the Word of God is to us and is today. Word of God, speak. Here we go.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, I hear your voice. And Word of God, speak. Would you pour down?
Yeah.
it's okay.
All right, Word of God speak. That's what we declare today over the airwaves. Word of God speak through us. And speak what you want to do, mighty God, in so many lives. Jesus says that he is the Word of God in John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who Jesus is. And we are going to start in John 13, down about verse 34. Because this is a few hours before Jesus goes to the cross. And Jesus has been walking and talking and teaching his disciples for about 3 years, and they've learned a lot. And the Word of God has been speaking, and his name is Jesus. And so he really starts out talking about love in verse 34 of John 13. He says, let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. And then Simon asks a question, and he says, Master, just where are you going? And Jesus says, you can't follow me now where I'm going. You will follow later. And then Peter is kind of confused by this and wants to know why he can't follow now. But he had a work to do. Peter had a job to do that needed to be done. Pastor Jim, I find it, I love it that Jesus is saying people are going to know who you are by your love. And isn't that true, especially when we talk about heaven? It's the love of God that has provided a place for us to go, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, well, we're going to get to it here in just a minute, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a place
yes.
for us.
Yes.
And I'm excited about it.
Right.
I mean, you know, we've heard different people who have died and gone to heaven briefly and come back.
Yes. Right.
And one of the things that always stuck in my head was people said colors were different. Like
right.
Just
yes.
so different than they are here.
Right.
And it's God's love that makes that place for us. We just celebrated the death and resurrection
yes.
of Jesus.
Yes. Right.
And it's that that opened the doors of heaven for us.
Amen.
And a couple of quick statements. God doesn't want you kept out of heaven.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, we put so many roadblocks in.
Yes.
And I think one of them is right here. They will know, you know, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for each other.
Right.
And the church in the past 2,000 years has not done a good job of fulfilling that scripture.
Isn't that true?
Quite honestly.
Yes. Yes.
We certainly are not today.
Right.
There is, you know, just infighting and not even so much, you know, right here it's love for each other.
Right.
Loving your fellow believer. And there's a lot of hatred of your fellow believers going
oh,
on
absolutely.
Because they may have slightly different doctrinal ideas over something that's not a major issue.
Right.
You know, I can't stand you because you're pre-trib.
Right.
Or because they may have a more liberal social outlook.
Right.
Well, you know, you're going to burn in hell for thinking that way.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's not love. And it doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
But unfortunately, so many preachers and evangelists think it's okay to get from pulpits and preach hate, a doctrine of hate. And Jesus says right here, they're going to know you're my disciples by not your legalism, not your rules and your lists of rules and how people are to dress or whatever. He said, they're going to know you're my disciples by your love.
Right.
And that's the nature of God Almighty. He's a good, good father, and his whole nature is all about love. That's why he even prepared a place for us to go, because he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nan, talk about this, if you will. When it comes to so many quote-unquote Christians actually walking the walk of love, we don't see it. I don't believe we see it as nearly like we should.
That's for sure. And we've encountered, and I've been in churches with people
like that.
I'm not in a church now with people like that.
Right.
Thank you, Dan.
Because not like that.
Right.
But, and the people are not like that. But, you know, it's a sad thing.
Right.
You know, to get off on something that just came to mind, you know, oftentimes I can remember back in the 70s and 80s, I would hear people say, it's the church that shoots their wounded.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly right.
I've had people say to me,
yes,
you know, so-and-so's not even Christian, and they did more to help so-and-so than the people at their church did.
Right, right.
You know, so I think those are examples of what not is supposed to be happening.
Right. But it is happening, and as a result of that, I think a lot of people that really maybe aren't what they would be called a Christian, they see the conduct of quote-unquote Christians, and it's something that it makes them just want to walk away from, not come and embrace, right, PJ?
Well, yes. I mean, okay, I'm a social networker. I got my Facebook going.
Right, sure.
And some people on Facebook, and
right,
some of them are on my friends list.
Sure.
Purport to be Christian.
Right.
But say the most vile things
right
about
yes
politicians.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or they repost just nasty things. And
right,
it's like, uh-uh.
Right.
Because the other two love commandments are the greatest commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart,
yes,
soul, and might.
Yes.
And the second
right
is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Right. And that's from Luke 10, starting in about verse 22, I think, where the young lawyer comes to Jesus and asks what he must do to inherit eternal life.
Right, right.
And then, we're talking about eternal life today, right?
Right. And the point Jesus made there is, you know, the rich man, the young ruler wanted to justify himself. Well, who
yeah
is my neighbor?
Right.
And Jesus followed it with the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Exactly, yes.
You know, and it's like, here was this outcast, and he was more righteous than the priest or the Levite.
Well, it's not that about us totally always agreeing on every point. As you mentioned earlier, there's people who believe the rapture is coming before the tribulation. There's people that believe it's coming about mid of those 7 years. There's people that believe that the rapture's coming post. And, you know, the tribulation. So whichever way, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't keep us from loving each other. It does not keep us from loving each other.
Right.
Right.
And Nan just came out as a mid-tribulationist.
Ah, oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So I guess I can't have fellowship with her anymore because I'm post-trib.
But I think that's a great example.
That's a great example.
We have a differing little viewpoint on when that is, but I love Pastor Jim.
Right.
It's not going to cause any kind of problems between he and I ever because
right
we love
exactly
each other.
And that's
exactly
the way, I mean, now if Nan, just as an example, had said, oh, well, Jesus is only human, that would have been a different story.
Right.
You know, that would
right
have been something I would have needed to take issue with in love.
Right.
But even if I disagree about something as major as that,
right,
we don't have to get hateful about it.
Right.
And that's what Jesus
oh
is saying
yes
here in John 13.
Yes.
You know, I mean, look, you know me, I love church history.
Right.
The second, well, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh centuries of the church, they just fought each other to the point of bloodshed.
Exactly.
What sort of example was that to set for the world?
And isn't that what religion, quote unquote, has done forever? Holy wars have been the history of mankind, where people disagree on something. And, you know, the interesting thing is that those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are all going to be in heaven together. And whether or not there's points of doctrine that we disagree with each other, it's not, it does not matter when we get to heaven, and it really doesn't much matter here now either.
I can't wait to shake Pat Robertson's hand. I am looking forward to that about as much as my dancing with the ladies at the nursing
really?
Home.
Okay. All right. Cool. So it's not a matter, and this is what Jesus was trying to talk about, and I find this fascinating that he talks about this, and then he goes right into this teaching about heaven. Because he prefaces it, Yeah, there you go. He prefaces this with a discussion of the fact that if you don't walk in love, how can you really claim to be God's disciple? Mm-hmm. How can you? You know, it's all about love. You know, 1 John, the book of 1 John is full of all about God's love. And about that's how we can acquire eternal life because of love of God and love for each other. Go
right.
ahead.
Well, and 1 John is a book of tests.
Yes.
You know, there's the test of the truth. There's the test of righteousness and
right.
the test of love. And John says, you know, you got to have these.
Right.
Or you're not really walking with God, with
right.
Jesus. And, you know, love is, you know. People think, well, I'm defending the truth. No, you're maligning the truth by
right.
your attitude, by your hateful attitude. You are maligning the truth. And, you know, I have again, I hate to keep going back to Facebook, but I have friends on Facebook who, well, one in particular, who's an atheist.
Okay.
And tends to want to mock the Christian faith. And unfortunately, some of his mockery we deserve. Which
right.
which pains me because it's such a horrible example to set for the world.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, he and I, when we worked together, he's a former coworker, we had some really good discussions, and that was fun because it was done, well, not fun, but it was done.
Yeah, sure.
It was done in a spirit of, you know, mutual respect and for, on my part, at least, you know, I loved this coworker because
right.
I'm called to love my neighbor. So, and I wanted to see the best for him.
Exactly.
So, but again, it all boils down to love one another.
Exactly.
As I have loved you.
Well, and in 1 John, he says God is love. That's the nature of God. And because of that, we can talk about our home where we're headed with the God above who loves us so very much. And when Peter says, hey, where are you going? I want to go with you. And Jesus said, you will, but not yet.
Well, so, of course. And Peter, impetuous one that he is, why can't I come
now,
Lord?
Yeah.
I'm ready to die for you.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Jesus goes, I have the living, the new living. Die for me. I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny three times that you even know me.
Yes, this was the day before the crucifixion. Yes.
Yeah.
And so this is extremely important that Peter he needed more time here. He wasn't ready to go to heaven. He needed time to work out all of these bugs and kinks. And so often I think that we can get a mindset where we just, I want to die. I want to die right now. I want to go to heaven. I want to get over all this. When God is still working on us, you know, and he knows the perfect time when we need to go to heaven.
And working through us.
Good point.
You know,
absolutely.
I just read today. Well, in fact, it was one of the readings you gave us to read.
Right.
About fulfilling our ministry.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Until that's done.
Right.
We're
going to
be here.
We are going to be here. So we're going to talk about heaven. We're also going to talk about that ministry and what we are doing. Let's look at John 14, starting with verse 1, because Jesus goes on right here in this discussion he's having with Peter, and he addresses everybody, and he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And I think this is one of the most important little passages, one of my favorites, I guess, where Jesus is saying here, you trust God, but yet you don't seem to be understanding that you should be trusting me because I and the Father are one, basically, is what he's talking about here.
And I think it's interesting that, okay, he just talked, and I'm pretty sure he didn't just whisper this in Peter's ear about the denial.
Right.
And then the next words out of his mouth are, don't let your hearts be troubled.
Right, right.
Okay? I've told you all this stuff above here, and yeah, it's, Peter, you're going to deny me, and et cetera, but don't let your hearts be troubled.
Right.
You believe in God, believe also in me.
Right.
And then he gives that wonderful discussion about heaven.
Oh, gosh,
you know, in
yes.
my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And that had to, I think, comfort Peter.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, he didn't just completely, that he wasn't going to lose his salvation over this.
Right, exactly.
Because he did repent of it.
Right.
And, you know, I know you and Nan have heard me say this about 1,000 times, but Jesus was the perfect Jewish groom.
Yes.
He was the bridegroom here.
Right.
Because, you know, I talked about it, well, that Wednesday that you weren't there.
Right.
About when a Jewish man and Jewish woman were betrothed, that it was almost like being married.
Right.
Because it took a divorce to break
to
the
break
betrothal.
That, yes.
And what
right.
would happen is they'd have the little betrothal ceremony. The husband-to-be or the bridegroom would go back to his father's house and start building an addition on for the wife.
Oh, that'll preach.
Once the addition was ready, he'd go back and get his bride.
Right.
And that's, I mean, putting it in that context
yes.
makes this.
Makes sense,
makes,
totally.
Makes it just perfect because Jesus said, look, I'm going to go to my father's house. I'm
right.
going to build you a room. When I'm done, I'm coming back for you. And that's what would happen. Once the room was done, there'd be this procession to the bride's house. There'd be the wedding ceremony.
Right.
And, you know, then the actual wedding would occur. And how prophetic is that?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because that's what's happening.
Yes.
Jesus
yes.
has gone ahead of us because of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. He's up there building us rooms.
And this is reality, too. I think that when you read a lot of books that people have written that have slipped into eternity for a few seconds or minutes or whatever, one of the things that seems to be so prevalent in all of these experiences is that there are all these mansions. There really are all these rooms and places where we're going to be, which is fascinating. It's not just a thought. It's something that's going to happen and is happening, you know, for people. There is a place where you hang out, a place mm-hmm. where you belong. You know, ooh, talk to me about that, Nan, because what a joy to know that God has it all planned ahead for each of us. He knows the days that are ordained for us. He knows what he has planned, and he knows where we're headed.
I just want to get there.
You just want to get there.
You know, Pastor Jim was saying in reference to the scriptures that you had shared with us previously about we're here to finish out, you know, our ministry.
Right.
And I was sitting today at lunch going over some paperwork for my office, and I sat there, and based on some stuff that's happening, I told God, I said, I'm ready to come home now.
Right. Yeah.
And, of course, I won't go until the point of time.
Right.
It's just me humanly
sure.
speaking out of because of what's happening. But, you know, it's such a beautiful thing. It's going to be so, I mean, just, I can't even hardly fathom what it's going to be like in heaven.
Oh, I
know.
It's
going to be so cool. You know, just joyous going around and seeing our friends and praising the Lord, just spending time praising God.
Yes.
Just worshiping God.
Right.
I mean, that is just so, so cool. I mean, we worship him now, but we really will be worshiping him then. And it's just really exciting.
Well, and when Jesus talks about this, he's doing this to give us hope, to remind us that, hey, not just everything you see right here on this earth is all there is. This is not all there is. But the world is full of people who believe this is it. You know, this is heaven now. If this is heaven, I mean, whoa, it's just not a good thing, right? A lot of times. And a lot of people don't believe that there is a hell, and they feel like hell is right here now. You want to address that, PJ? Because we hear this from people from time to time.
Oh, I know. And people would like to deny that because, yes, God is love, but he's also holy. And just so you know, hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Why, and hell itself is kind of they took an old Norse word when they translated the King James Bible, but it actually is in Hebrew and Greek is Gehenna, which right. was the garbage dump where the fire never went
right.
out. They always had a fire going in the garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. And, you know, it's if heaven is real, unfortunately, so is hell. And God doesn't send anyone to hell. And, you know, he has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is accept it.
Amen.
It's that simple. And then, you know, you get to know Jesus, you get to go to heaven.
Right. And it is that simple, but yet there's people who want to argue that point all the time. Let's do Keith Green's song right now. Do you want to introduce it? I can't wait to get to heaven.
Yeah, well, that was it. I can't.
I mean, anything about it.
Well, it's just a great song, and I love the chorus, which you'll hear, you know, and he's talking about God and talking to God. In 6 days, you created everything. But you've been working on heaven 2,000 years.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. God created the entire universe in 6 days.
Right.
And he's been working on heaven for 2,000 years. So imagine how great that's going to be.
Oh, glorious. Let's hear it. Woo! Love it. Keith Green is already with the Lord in heaven.
Yes, he is.
Passed away many years ago.
I look around at the world and I see all the beauty that God made. I see the forest and the trees and all the things. And it says in the Bible that he made them in 6 days, and I don't know if they're a literal 6 days or not. Scientists would say no. Some theologians would say yes. It doesn't matter to me. But I know that Jesus Christ has been preparing a home for me and for some of you for 2,000 years. And if this world took 6 days and that home took 2,000 years, hey man, this is living in a garbage can compared to what's going up there.
Away all my fears. In 6 days, you created everything.
you've been working on heaven 2,000 years. Woo! Hallelujah. Love it.
Yeah, and I like what's in that song because, you know, we can look at the beauty around us and we should. And we should thank God for it. You know, we should thank Jesus for this creation. But as beautiful as this creation can be, and of course, we live in Florida, so we got beautiful beaches.
Yes, we do.
Beautiful sunsets and all that. But it just can't even, I don't think, be compared.
Oh, there's no way. There's anything on this earth, as beautiful as this earth is, that's going to compare to heaven.
Right.
I just know that that's the case. It's amazing that he wrote that, and it wasn't long after that he passed away.
It was within 5 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny because I've thought about that when we talked about, when I thought about the song, when you emailed us about what this was going to be about today, I thought, well, that might be a good song to play.
Oh, it
and
is.
And then I thought, you know, he left
way too young.
Way too young.
Yes.
And maybe, as we'll get to in 2 Timothy, maybe his ministry was fulfilled.
Yes.
Maybe he had done everything. I don't know. But, yeah, that's a day I'll never forget.
No.
I totally agree. And that's somebody else I'm looking forward to talking to when I get to heaven, because I want him to sing me a couple of songs.
Well, I'm sure he will. He'll be on the...
He's in the praise band.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Right. So Jesus goes into detail here in John 14, 1 through 3, and says, you know, so often we get caught up in anxiety and the trouble, and he says, do not be troubled. Do not be worried about what's going to happen. And I think that a lot of the world lives in that place of, I wonder how much more time I have here on this earth. I wonder when I'm going to die, or am I going to be sick, or, you know, all that anxiety stuff. And yet Jesus is saying, I don't want you to be troubled about anything. I want you to be reassured that you have a heavenly home and that you can go there, and there is a way to get there. And of course, then we see the I am statement that Jesus makes here in John 14, 6, when Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? And I think the humanity of Thomas and the disciples right there comes out, because Jesus is talking about the heavenly home. He's not talking about someplace he was going on this earth. He was leaving earth's realm, you know, for a better place. Mm-hmm. And within just a few hours, he was going to the cross. And so he says in John 14, 6, I am the road, or the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. And it's because Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. He came to this earth to show us the Father.
Exactly. And he said that. He said, what I see the Father doing, I'm doing.
That's exactly right.
So apparently the Father heals,
right,
works miracles, shows
absolutely
compassion.
That's the whole nature of God the Father, which we're starting that new series here Wednesday, Promises, Precious Promises. And we're really going to be talking about the nature of God. And right here we see it where Jesus is saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And this is where so many people get hung up, I believe, and don't realize that getting to know Jesus is the essence of our spiritual knowledge. That's what we need. We need to have such a knowledge of who he is.
Oh, absolutely. And
and
a lot of people get hung up. Well,
right.
You mean he's the only way?
Right.
Yeah, and I'm going to say it unapologetically. Jesus is the only way to the Father. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus.
He's very clear about that
He's very clear here. And Acts 4:12, Peter before the Sanhedrin said, there is salvation in
no one else,
for there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved.
Right.
Except the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
And unapologetically so. I'm reminded of that song, the old Imperial song, "O Buddha."
Oh yes,
you know,
yes.
That's done kind of tongue in cheek, but it's very true.
Right.
Is that, you know, if you've heard about Jesus, if you've had the gospel truly presented to you, you have to make a choice.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you've never heard the gospel, that's a whole different story, and we won't get into that here, but God has a plan for that too. But if somebody's preached the gospel to you,
right,
and you haven't responded,
right,
don't go looking to Buddha.
Right.
Don't go looking to L. Ron Hubbard. Don't go looking to Reverend Moon.
Exactly.
Because that ain't going to work.
Exactly. It's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
Talk to us about, go ahead, Nan. Talk to us about this, because you and Pastor Jim and I grew up in church and heard this all our lives, but yet we also live it on a daily basis because we know it's all about Jesus. Well, our communication is with Jesus, to the Father through Jesus.
And because, I can only speak for myself here, we were all three raised in church, but because I was raised in church, sometimes it is hard for me to be able to understand people's viewpoint about that it's not all about Jesus. Because
right.
I was raised in that.
I
have served God a long time. And, you know, I can't relate with those thoughts.
Well, didn't we start the program with the song, Word of God Speak? Okay, Jesus is the Word. The Word is our final authority, right? The Word settles it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm the way, and then there's a lot of other people around the world that have great ideas, and they're good teachers, and they're the way, too. So pick a way. Jesus didn't say that. Go ahead.
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. Well, and it just popped in my head when Paul was in Philippi, and he met that girl that with a python spirit.
Right, yes.
And literally, most translations say these men are showing you the way to God. Literally, there's no article there. And in Greek, that's important. It's literally, these men are showing you a way to God.
Right,
apart from the fact she was obnoxious and demon-possessed, you know, you know, it was falsifying their gospel. It was just saying it's one of many ways, and that's one of the reasons Paul cast that demon out.
Oh, absolutely. And when people come to talk to you and say, but there's a lot of good ways to heaven, you know, people are good. If you're just good, if you're a decent person, Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved.
Well, and I think what people don't get is God is absolute, okay?
Right.
God is absolute love.
Yes,
He is. Also absolute holy.
Right.
And, well, I've been a good person. Well, have you ever sinned? Well, yeah.
Of course.
Then, I mean, because God works in absolutes, His absolute holiness demands retribution for that sin.
Right.
His absolute love paid the price.
Absolutely.
Ooh, that's good.
That was good, yes.
That was good. I mean, so, yeah, it does take a Savior. And like I said earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He's reconciled the world to Himself.
Yes.
And I think one of the most frustrating things for me, as when I talk to people or when I look around at the different religions, is it's so easy to get to heaven. Scripturally, it's easy.
Absolutely.
You repent.
It's believing and repentance. Yes.
You believe, you repent. You ask Jesus, you know, you believe in Him. You say, come in. I forgive me of my sins. And yet, even some supposedly Christian churches set up, well, now that you're saved, you need to cut your hair. Men,
right.
You need to wear a white shirt and a tie.
All
ladies, don't
stuff.
Ever cut your hair.
Right. Crazy stuff.
Or even like the non-Christian religions. The Christian cults, Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, you have to go out and work, or
right.
You're not going to get to heaven. Well, no,
right.
It's by grace. You know, usually the things that are attacked are, you know, the simplest things. It's just believing because
right.
It's by grace.
Right.
And that is so hard. We think and maybe it's just a human quality, but we think we have to work our way into
right.
God's presence. And remember, he's absolute. He's absolute love. He's absolute holiness.
Yes.
We can never work our way into
that. It's not about our working. And,
exactly.
And our,
it can never be that way.
It can never be that way. And don't you think, and Nan, I'll go to you for this, because I think a lot of people feel like because it is so simple, there must be something wrong with this explanation that's how you get saved and go to heaven is by believing and receiving. Some people I know, and I've talked to them through the years, especially back in my college days, felt like that just made it way too simple, which meant it couldn't be right.
Well, I mean, in this day and age, we live in a very complex society,
right,
where things seem to be complex for them to happen.
Right.
You know, we sometimes, I don't want to say expect that, but that seems to be reality in some people's lives. Therefore, because they have that happening in their lives, they can't conceive how such a thing can be so simple.
Right.
And it is simple. But we're the ones who make it difficult.
Absolutely. And it is simply about acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Son of God and believing that he came to this earth and died on a cross, everything that he was about to do, where we are right here in John 14. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, and you mentioned college. What's my later high school years? And yeah, I grew up in church, but it was a liberal church. So like I've said before, we had a youth group. They played Jesus Christ Superstar. The pastor asked us what was missing. We had no idea it was the resurrection. But believe me, once I got saved, I made up for lost time.
Right. Right. Absolutely, you have.
But there were all those intellectuals, those men of Athens. Where we went to school, I'm sure it was that way on it, probably every university, those men of Athens at Ball State University, this, you know, it just wasn't intellectually satisfying.
Right, right, yeah.
And, you know, it just was too simple.
Too simple, right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, I mean, 1 Corinthians, God has chosen the foolish things of this world
right.
to shame the wise.
Right.
And again, it just goes back to this wonderful, you know, heaven just seems like such a foolish sort of place for most people because they think, oh, I'm going to be up there with a white robe playing a harp for eternity.
Right. No.
And
mm-mm.
That's not it at all.
No.
You know, seriously. I mean, I just kind of echo the Keith Green song. I'm so ready.
Right.
I'm ready for Jesus to come back. I'm ready to be in heaven because I know it's going to not just be sitting on a cloud playing a harp.
No, absolutely not.
It's going to be praising God like I know I've never praised him before.
Sure.
Right. And I think we'll still learn things through eternity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I believe so. And how like a loving Heavenly Father to not have a science experiment, so to speak, with mankind here, and then that's it. It's over. You know, this little experiment, you live a little, you mess up, you die, whatever. But to have our loving Heavenly Father that has prepared a place for us. And Jesus said, where I am, you will be also. That it's a home forever. It's not, you know, it's a forever home, you know.
Right. And, and I use this also when I taught that Wednesday. And I just, we'd mentioned before about having hope.
Right.
Heaven gives us hope.
Yes.
And in Hebrews chapter 6.
Yes.
Talks about, it's starting in verse 18. And again, this is the New Living Translation. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us.
Mm-hmm.
This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And what just hit me this time as I was reading it is in eternity, I mean, well, I think I always interpreted that as here and now, I have access to the Father, which I do. We can go into the Holy of Holies.
Right.
Because Jesus is our high priest, always interceding for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Our hope goes in there. It's an anchor. And Nan, you were there. I drew an anchor up on the whiteboard.
Yeah, right. You did a good job. Dude, I loved it.
And I attached it to the mercy seat.
Oh, yeah.
I said, this is where our anchor is.
Yes.
So we don't ever have to fear. And yet, I just realized there's an eternal aspect to that,
yes.
too. Because we're going to be, you know, I guess climbing up the rope that the anchor is attached to at some point. And we're going to be there in the Holy of Holies with Jesus
amen.
In the Father's presence.
Oh, yes.
And that gives me hope that no matter how crazy, wacky things get here.
Right.
Or even if, you know, and again, you heard me say earlier, I'm post-trib. Even if I have to go through the tribulation.
Right.
I know I read the last page of the book, so I know who wins. And I know where I'm going to end up.
Oh, yes.
I know where I'm going to be when it's all said and done.
Amen. Woo! And it's all because of that name above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Love this song by Paul Baloche, Your Name. Because it's because of his name that we can go to heaven. Because we believe in his name.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Praise God. It's all about the name of Jesus. Oh, give us strength through that name, the name of Jesus. And that's why we can go to heaven, because there's salvation in that name.
Amen.
Comfort in that name, salvation in that name. Praise God. It's all about the name of Jesus. Some of you out there may be saying, you're sure talking a lot about the importance of Jesus. Jesus is the way. Again, John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to go into 1 Corinthians 15 here after our station ID here in a moment. And we're going to talk about the fact of where we're headed and why, as we talk about finishing up this series, Free to Live, because to really live is to live eternally.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. Pastor Jim, would you give a little talk for a second about our prayer line and why? And can't believe the first hour is already up, but
I know
flies by around here.
It does. Well, yes, we do have a prayer line. And if you have a prayer need, please send it to us at prayers, that's P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. It will come to myself and Betty and Shell, who are also radio folks. And one of us will pick it up. We will send it out with a prayer attached and, have our prayer team pray for your needs. And we are a church that believes that God answers prayer, no matter how big, no matter how small. And we believe God will answer. We've seen him answer.
Amen.
Which
amen,
is why amen. I always add, when God answers your
when
prayer,
God answers, not
please
if.
Please let us know.
That's right.
I save all those emails in a special little folder.
Right.
Because I think it's important that we can look back and say, well, look, you know, God does work. God does heal.
Amen.
God does give people, you know, what they need at
right.
the time they need it.
Right. And we want to hear from you. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. We want to hear
Absolutely.
From people in our audience. And we do get a lot of prayer requests.
We have gotten prayer requests from all over the world.
Right. And so, you know, wherever you are when you listen to this, if there's a need that you know of, please let us know so we can be praying in agreement. There's been so many answers to prayer and just amazing things. My niece's brother had a heart attack on a jogging path. It appears that's what it was a week ago, last night. And he's been unreal.